Welcome to Let the Universe Be Your Guide, Using the Laws of Attraction to Get Your Book Written and Published and So Much More with Marilyn Jeanette. Let me tell you a little bit about Marilyn. Marilyn is a renowned prosperity mentor with an international following, an accomplished businesswoman, and owner of a company that served the corporate arena for 20 years. Her achievements were the result of the prosperity principles she now teaches in her Feel Free to Prosper program. Her fascinating memoir, Feel Free to Prosper, an entrepreneurial memoir of synchronicity and guidance, was written on her network forum, attracted an agent, over 8,000 page views, hundreds of rave reviews, and will soon be published. It can still be found on the forum until the book's release. The story was not intended to be a book. The universe obviously had different plans. Marilyn founded the Feel Free to Prosper program to mentor and teach others to become aligned with universal laws and accept their right to prosper. Her students from around the globe and from all walks of life are enjoying remarkable success applying her lessons and participating in her private and group sessions, teleclasses, and audio programs. Welcome, Marilyn.
Well, thank you, Heidi. I think it was synchronicity and guidance that brought me to you.
And I to you. So thank you very much. I'm just delighted to have you here, and I'm going to go ahead and get started with our first question.
Okay.
So, Marilyn, how did you get involved in prosperity teaching in the first place?
I take it you mean the prosperity teachings, the prosperity laws to begin with? Is that
correct?
What you mean? All right, let's start at the beginning. I'm sorry.
Marilyn, 1 second, please. I just crashed the verbal networking room. Can you hold on about 30 seconds while I get back in there? Sorry about that.
Okay.
Don't know what happened.
Do you want me to repeat the question, Roy?
I don't know what they missed in there because it just happened right as Marilyn started speaking.
How about the introduction?
Let me get in the room again. Hold on.
No, it looks like it happened after I introduced you and kind of in the middle of the question.
Yeah, actually right in the transition. So Marilyn had said a couple of sentences and then that was that. So I should be in the room almost immediately here. Just 1 second. Let me just double check everything. All right, I'm testing the room. If you can hear the sound of my voice, please type a Y in the text chat. Thank you. Okay, we're back to square one. So go right ahead, Marilyn.
All right, we're back from our commercial break. Heidi, do you want to repeat the question?
Sure. So, Marilyn, how did you get involved in prosperity teachings in the first place?
All right, I'm going to take you back to the beginning. I wasn't born to privilege, and I didn't grow up in a family with a prosperity consciousness. But there was always something in my soul that yearned to find the answers, and I just didn't want to accept my apparent lot in life. So I had a really intense desire to discover how I can overcome a lack consciousness and change my life, and I wanted to know how to turn my dreams into reality. So first, I delved into parapsychology and the psychic world, which led to my fascination with the creative powers of the mind. That led to the study of the subconscious mind and research in the area of hypnosis, and eventually I felt there was a missing element, though, and I was guided to go beyond the study of the mental aspect into both the mental and spiritual realms, specifically as they relate to our ability to create our reality. So for years prior to the time period of my story, I had pretty much devoured the works of the most brilliant minds in the area of mental and spiritual science. So I've since labeled this, I call this practical metaphysics. And I can only say that I'll always be just deeply grateful for my exposure to the most outstanding teachers who are both living and dead. And now my story is my entrepreneurial memoir of the ways that I apply the universal laws and prosperity principles to create and grow my business of 2 decades. So to the reader, my accomplishments may seem magical and supernatural to someone who doesn't understand the workings of these laws. But I like to say that the supernatural is really quite natural once we understand it. So while writing the story, I came to realize that my business was in reality a schoolhouse. It was a schoolhouse for me to learn these laws so that I would eventually be able to teach and help others. So the universe, I feel, was preparing me for my life's purpose.
And obviously, from talking to you and reading your blog, you really did have no intention to write a book. So really, what changed your mind?
Nothing changed my mind. It was never written to be a book. And in fact, let me say this, that if I sat down to write a segment of that story with the intention of writing a book, it would not have flowed. I know that. But I was telling a story to those wonderful members and visitors to my network who were listening, who were encouraging, who were reading. And that's what brought it out in me. Now, the reason I actually wrote the story was because many people had asked me over the years, especially since I started teaching my prosperity program, well, we know that you're using these laws in your business, because they saw me the last few years with, I had one client, Campbell Soup, that was my final client. And they saw me using the laws in business, but they wanted to know how I started the business 20 years ago and if I used the laws. Because, you know, we know that so many people are looking for their true place in life. They're looking for ways to, the right business or ways to grow their business. So a lot of people were curious what I did back then to begin with. And I said, you know, one of these days I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to put a few posts on my forum and tell them how one thing led to another, and you know, just let people know. I had no idea that it would just spill out with all this incredible detail. You see, the subconscious mind is a perfect memory of everything we've ever heard, said, felt, listened to, and experienced. And I hadn't thought of these things for 20 years, most of it for 20 years. And it just surfaced. And that's really what happened. If it wasn't my story with my details, I would swear somebody else was writing it through me. But it was my story, so I had to be writing it. I do think it was from a higher form of guidance. It was a story that had to be told. I gave up my corporate business last summer, and it just seemed timely that at this point in time I would share with my forum, with my, quote, following, about my corporate journey.
So then with everything else going on in your life, and I know having a forum takes a lot of time, and you post, you know, just pages upon pages. I find it just fascinating. How did you find the time to write that story down?
Well, I think I give everyone the impression I'm incredibly busy. Is that true?
Yes.
I'm not. As I said, last summer I actually released my baby that grew up, my corporate business, Maryland Janae Locations. Campbell Soup was the last client, and after 6 promotions for them, I finally decided it was time. I knew that it was time for the transition, for me to let go of that part of my life and devote myself completely to teaching my Feel Free to Prosper program. And so the time has been spent. I do periodic teleclasses and classes, but actually the story took a good deal of my focus from last September until just a few months ago. And I never wrote before, Heidi, before getting on Rise 4 years ago and starting my program. I was not internet savvy, and I never wrote. I had written a couple of articles, which I tell about in my story, that were quite productive years ago, but it wasn't like writing a book or writing the posts that you see. This all just, I guess a little later in life, it was all inside of me and was waiting to come out. And the forum and all the wonderful people like you that I have met just brought that out, brought it out to me. I post because there's somebody on the other side of cyberspace that's there to benefit or to listen, or someone that I can help.
That's a great philosophy. So, Marilyn, let's talk exactly about the book. I want to talk about how you attracted your agent, because I think that it's just fascinating how that all came about.
All right, you ready for this? It's a little convoluted, but I'll try to make it simple. It's definitely a perfect example of whatever you could call it, law of attraction, synchronicity, guidance, divine intervention. You can label it anything you want, but this is a perfect example of how the process works. I had, Campbell Soup was my last corporate client, and they spent about over $450 million for promotions, national promotions for children. And I was their key vendor. The castle that you see on my website and network, That was the Castle New England. I booked twice for them. Mansions in Los Angeles. And then one year we did the island promotion, and I booked an island in the Caribbean, 2 hours from off the coast of Nicaragua. The island is owned by Martin Thomas and his wife Jennifer, and they have 5 young children. And Martin, that family is so unique, talking about turning dreams into reality. They have just followed their dreams and moved from, in Italy, they took an old schoolhouse and turned it into a villa. Then Martin bought a cheap deserted island off the coast of Nicaragua and moved his family there, and they spent 7 months living in a hut while, they had 4 children at the time, while they brought everything in and built their own paradise. And that island is just spectacular. And since that booking, he became a private student of mine, and several things started to happen. American Express booked the island for their card members auction. Then the largest television network in New Zealand, they're from New Zealand, went to the island to film the family. And I said, Martin, we've got to turn... He wrote a book about their adventures. And the book was beautiful. It was published in New Zealand. And I said, we've got to get this book turned into a film. Your story belongs on television or in the movies. And I said, I am going to find an agent, an attorney, someone who can take your book and turn it into a film. So I got on the internet, and first I Googled literary agents, and I found mostly in Hollywood, literary agents only handle screenplays. And I knew nothing about the publishing industry, knew nothing about what I was doing. I was just relying completely on universal guidance here. Then I Googled in, I knew I wanted an attorney because Martin is in New Zealand, I'm here, we needed someone to handle legal aspects of it, someone who knew the film business, someone who knew publishing. So I Googled literary agent who is an attorney, and only one came up, and that was Paul. And I called him, and he called me back. He did not know anything about me. As far as I was concerned, I was representing Martin's property. We got a synopsis to him on the book, and Martin flew in from New Zealand. We had a meeting. It was wonderful. He was going to have the book republished here in New York and then bring it to Hollywood. Paul is probably the only literary agent in America who's also an entertainment attorney. He was with Hearst Entertainment and Warner Brothers. He turns books into films. He handles new authors, first-time writers. He was a perfect fit for what I wanted to do for Martin. Now, coincidentally, at the same time that Martin flew in from New Zealand, I had about 3 of my story segments on the forum, on the Rise forum. And suddenly, all my members were getting excited about those 3 posts, saying, Marilyn, this is your book. This is in the story. You've got to keep going. This is wonderful. They have all this excitement. And I said, you know, I'm going to ask Paul for a professional opinion here. And I asked him if he would do me a favor and go look at the forum and read those 3 segments, such now chapters, but that, at that point they were posts, to read those 3 segments. I told him that I was telling the story of how I use these principles that I teach now to create my business 20 years ago. And I figured he would give me a couple of tips, or he might say, well, don't quit your day job, or whatever. I didn't expect anything. He looked at it, and he called me, and he said, do you know how nonfiction books are sold? And I said, I don't know how they're sold. I thought he was going into a marketing thing, but he was talking about a book proposal, and I really did not know what a book proposal was. I've heard the term, but I knew nothing about it. He said, they're sold through book proposals. I want you to go get a book by Michael Larson called How to Write a Book Proposal, and I want you to get me a proposal, and I'm going to represent you. And, of course, there was a long silence, and I finally said, you're telling me I have a book? He says, you have a book. Now go get me a proposal. Now, this is what's very, very interesting. This was one of my favorite manifestations. I bought Michael Larson's book, and I could not open that book. I started to consciously think, wow, why am I procrastinating? Why can't I look at this book? I could not bring myself to open the book, and I didn't know why. Instead, I continued going back to my forum when I felt the prompting. See, I never knew when my story was going to continue or when it was going to end. I would wait until something would come into my mind. Usually when I was doing something else, I wasn't even thinking about it, I would get a vision of something that happened in the past in my business that related to these prosperity principles. And then I would sit down at the computer and start writing about it. But instead of even looking at Michael Larson's book, I just went back to the computer over a period of time and wrote some more segments to my story. At the point where I had 25 segments, Paul, at that point in time, decided he was not going to go further with Martin's project. And, of course, we were a little disappointed about that. But I also had no, really at that point, I didn't have any assurance that, I mean, if he didn't like Martin's beautiful book and wanted to do anything with it, how did I know he's going to really like my story? He only saw 3 forum posts. So I said, Paul, I'm not going to do any more with this as far as a book proposal unless you will take the time to please look at the 25 segments I've written. If you like them and you want to go further, then I'll do my part. But I really would like you to take a look to see if you're still interested. And he said if I would take it off the computer, he does not like reading things on the computer, if I would put in print, he'll take a look at it. He read the 25 segments, and he called me, and he said, I want you to get me a manuscript. I said, what about the book proposal? He said, oh, no, I don't want a book proposal. I don't need it. It's a memoir. I thought it was going to be a how-to book, but it's a memoir. I just need a manuscript, beginning, middle, and an end. So finish that manuscript and get it to me. And that was, I was thrilled. I escaped the task of having to write the book proposal, which I was not mentally prepared to do. And this is what I realized at that point, is that consciously I was questioning why I didn't go into Michael Larson's book. But intuitively, the universe knew that I would not need that book proposal, and it guided me to continue writing my story instead. You see how that works?
Oh, yeah, and it obviously was you. It was, nor were you meant to do it, as you said, obviously.
At that point. Now there's a proposal, and that's another story, but we'll get into that perhaps later. But for that particular project, the proposal wasn't needed. I was very relieved. And over an 8-month period, I finished the manuscript, and I was saying to the universe, Universe, I'm all done, but I just can't work with Word on the computer to get the exact right publisher standard, you know, 2 spaces after every colon and everything formatted. Please send me an angel. And sure enough, a woman that I did not know previously showed up. Her name is Angel, and she has a lot of publishing background and is a writer, and she formatted that manuscript from my Word document to perfection. It was so polished and so beautiful, and it was delivered to Paul, and on May 30th, he signed me.
Wow.
That's it. That's
and I read the story about Angel, and I've seen you talk to her, and I know her, and she's just a delight. So good for you.
Totally out of the blue. Yeah.
Good for you. So how has it been working with an agent?
I think he's great. You know what's the best part? He doesn't believe in universal laws. My story is about synchronicity and guidance and universal laws. He actually represents, I saw a lot of his bios at several writers. He's always invited to many prestigious writers to speak at writers' forums and whatever, and they say he handles New Age books at one of his areas, but he doesn't believe in the laws. He's rather agnostic about it, and yet I like that because I know that he didn't sign me because he's a fan of laws of attraction or universal laws of prosperity principles. He signed me because he's an agent and he believes he can sell my property. And he did tell me that too. He says, he does not take on anyone. He does not, he can't sell. He will only take properties he can sell. He's really very, he's very professional. He's right to the point, very forthright. So I like that about him. He's very, just very upfront. And that is better for me. I have more faith in him because I realize that there's divine intervention here. In fact, when I had the manuscript delivered to him that day, I said, Paul, this is it. It'll be there in a few minutes. If you sign me and sell this book, may I write an epilogue for the book? And I want to write an epilogue telling how you are part of that synchronicity and guidance, this whole story surrounding the story. And his response was, whatever floats your boat. To him, it's not about the universal laws. It's about he can sell the property. And, that means a lot. Good man. decent family man. I just like him. I like him as a person.
Well, and I think, you know, when you're working this closely with somebody and you have to put your faith in them, you have to, well, you maybe don't have to like them, but I think it's probably a good part of the mix, because if you do like them, it makes it that much easier to work with them. So we know you've got the book, the manuscript finished.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? What are you waiting for now? What's done? I mean, what has to be done now? I mean, is it where he's going to now start representing your book to publishers?
He's already done it.
Pardon?
He's already done it.
Okay.
Already gone out to the majors.
Okay.
He sends me letters of everything. He shocked me, though, I have to tell you, the other day, because this is, I did not know. He doesn't talk a lot. He's a man of few words, but he says what's important. I had said something to him about a particular publisher that handles a lot of the types of books of renowned authors that write a lot of these, new thought books. And he said, and it's a very famous publisher, and he says, they don't pay their authors any money. I said, yeah, but look at all the promotion they get. He said, Marilyn, do you want to get a $200,000 or $300,000 advance, or do you want to get peanuts? If you want me to send it there, I will. And I went into shock. I said, a what kind of advance? I said, are you telling me you're going after a six-figure advance? And he said, well, yes. I didn't know that, Heidi.
He didn't tell me that before.
He told me what he was going to do, but here's exactly what he's doing. He is going to make the deal based on a two-book deal. The memoir is the first book, and the promise of the self-help book, which is he wants me to put Feel Free to Prosper in book form, and that's what he's negotiating for. He had told me sometime before that his publishing contract will include a 20-city book tour and radio and television, including New York television. So he definitely knows what he wants and what he's going after. And from what I know of his reputation and his bio, he does what he says he's going to do. So I'm just saying thank you, universe. this has to be divine intervention. Whether I think I deserve it or I write that well or not doesn't matter. I just trust the universe to take me on this journey.
So if you had it to do over again, I mean, as far as writing the book, what, if anything, would you do differently, Marilyn?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. So. Writing it on the forum was such a, I didn't intend to write a book. I had thought of everyone was saying, when are you going to write a book? And I just couldn't wrap my mind around a format. There's so many good books out there, especially in the area of universal laws and prosperity things and metaphysics. I didn't want to copy any of the great masters. I didn't want to do anything like the modern books. Who knew that it would come out as my own personal entrepreneurial memoir, weaving the laws into that memoir? I didn't know. I honestly didn't know. So the way it came out and having the forum as the vehicle with the readers on the other side encouraging me, if it wasn't for them, the book would not have been written. I've dedicated the book to those members of my forum and to the visitors who were urging me on, encouraging me, who loved everything. Even when I didn't think it was that wonderful, they are the ones that kept me going and made me realize I had something of value and that it was inspiring so many people. So, no, I wouldn't change a thing. I'm very grateful for the way it happened.
So then what advice would you give someone thinking of writing a book? Who may be just starting out, maybe written a few pages, just maybe journaling or doing whatever, the preliminaries to getting that book into a book-type format?
Well, I still don't think I'm a writer. You're telling me now I'm in your summit. I guess I can call myself
a writer. Are a writer.
I'm a writer. Okay. I'm a writer.
That's the new mantra.
Would like,
If you put words on paper, you're a writer.
I'm a storyteller.
Yeah, and you'll be an author as soon as you get that book published, which won't be long.
Well,
so go ahead.
Okay. Now, that's something else, too. He said it's about a year with traditional publishing.
Yeah.
But the good news is he's giving me permission. He said I can do whatever I want with the book until as soon as the publisher releases it, I'll have to take everything off from everywhere. But in the meantime, I've just turned it into an e-book. But what would I advise someone else as someone who's new to this and who's... I'd like to approach it really from the standpoint of synchronicity and guidance. I would like to say to anyone who's thinking of writing a book, who wants to write a book, that there is an all-knowing intelligence. There's a creative power that knows just how to do everything and wants to be your guide. So I'd like you to look even beyond the law of attraction. Law of attraction pretty much says you have to visualize and know what you want, and it's more of a law like gravity. I go beyond the law of attraction to the guidance of a loving universe that can easily become a perfect guide on the journey if you'll just learn to receive. So I would say go within and learn to listen and ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Your subconscious mind is receptive to your words, to your suggestions. The universe is receptive to your thoughts and your words. And ask. Ask for guidance. Don't try to write a book. There's a law called the law of reversed effort. And that law means that the harder you try to do something, the less chance you have of achieving it. So it's not in trying that allows things to flow. It's in accepting. Just think of yourself as an open channel and accept that what's very unique in you. Everyone has something that's uniquely yours, that's no one else's. And ask that that be brought forth. And ask for the guidance to bring that forth, to give your gift. Don't think of you as writing the book to be the writer, to be the author, to get the money. Think of yourself as, what in you do you have to share to others that will benefit them, entertain them, inspire them, make them feel, make them laugh? What do you have inside of you to give to that audience or to that readership? And that's why I think I was able to do it, is because there were people over there that could gain from something I had to offer. So that's the best advice I would give as a new writer.
It's so true. You have to listen to that inner voice, and I think as I've matured, both emotionally and physically and spiritually, I've learned to tap into that intuition a lot more. And you know, you do make much better decisions. You're not constantly fighting, as you said, against the universe. You're flowing with the universe, and it is so true.
It's almost like automatic pilot.
Yeah.
Consciously, it's something that your real wisdom. There's a difference between intelligence and wisdom. I like to call it spiritual intelligence, but your real wisdom comes from a different place than your conscious rational mind. That's where the creativity, and I suppose that's what they call writer's inspiration or any form of artist's inspiration. It comes from a different place, not from the conscious mind trying to do something. So yeah, learning to listen.
Yeah. Being still is the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. What resources have helped you in this whole writing process?
Oh, the computer, which I never thought I would learn to use a computer until 4 years ago. I mean, I'm not going to give ages away here, but I have friends who are my age, my hairdressers. They won't go anywhere near a computer and changed my life. I wouldn't have written without having the computer and with having, you know, as I said, the audience and my members.
Hold on one second, Marilyn, if you don't mind. I apologize for losing your train of thought, but it looks as though the room cannot hear you any longer. So, Roy, if you're still here, you're no longer connected to the verbal networking room.
Oh.
Okay, hang on a second.
I'm not sure where they left off.
Well, it's all recorded, though, huh?
It says, cutting out, since you mentioned you could put work out as an e-book until the publisher signs on. So that was...
Wow, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. I just looked up. You know, Heidi, look up. You know, they say kids are good at looking up, but sometimes...
Is that the phone version or just...
Well, I'm on the phone with you, and I'm also in the room as far as I have the room up on my computer so I can see the people in the room and answer any questions they have.
Well, would it be on the recording?
It will be on the recording, so we'll make sure that they get that. And I will mention that, and then we'll go back on to the... we'll go right where we stopped with the resources.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So resources, yes. Definitely having a computer changed my life. Learning.
Hold on one second, Marilyn. I just want to let everybody in the room know we're back.
Right.
And you'll be able to hear... the last question that Marilyn said on the recording, we're now at the question was, what resources have helped you in the writing process? And Marilyn, go ahead. Thank you very much.
If I may, though, I would like to say for those who didn't hear our last question, I would really love for them to listen to the recording about the advice, about what I said about learning to listen and the intuition and the connection to that wisdom, I would love for them to, I think that's a very important part of the process. So perhaps they could hear that on the recording. So the resources, as I said, computer. 4 years ago or so, I didn't even use a computer, and I'd mentioned that I have friends, my hairdresser, who are my age that won't get near computers, and computers changed my life. I don't believe I would have written anything without the computer or without the wonderful friends I have in cyberspace who were there to write to. So definitely the computer.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, researcher, you mean not necessarily people, though.
It looks as though they're still cutting out. So just if you'll just give us a second.
Don't apologize to me. I'm
not sure. I feel bad for the people on the phone line. We have a few people in the room. And if this happens again, I'll ask them to come on to the teleconference. And, of course, they will get a copy of this session, so we'll be able to they'll be able to hear it. And then we'll have to edit all this wonderful chit-chat out. For today, yes, we do have a couple. Actually, I booked a couple more for next week that really wanted to get in on the summit and couldn't, just because I didn't have the energy or time. And, you know, doing 15 presentations has been interesting and fun and all that wonderful stuff. So, and you mentioned you were talking about your resources being the computer, and what else was it you said? Oh, there.
Well,
sheesh. Okay, did you join us on the phone? Well, okay, Roy's inviting everybody to join us on the phone.
Heidi, here's what I'm going to probably have to do. I'm probably going to have to reboot my computer in order to get a good sound back into the room. So that is going to take me about 5 minutes or so to do that. So if you guys want to continue on and then let people know that they can listen in on the phone at this point live, I'll be back in about 5 minutes if you could let them know that as well.
Will it be recorded now if we keep talking? Or
yes.
We wait?
Oh, yeah, we're recording. I'm recording it in
there. Yeah,
oh, boy.
Okay, I'm recording too, but my recording's going to cut out for the minutes that I'm going to be offline. So
I'll have it, Roy. I've got it recording right now.
I'll be with you on the phone. I can hear all everything going on the phone.
I have a favorite affirmation. It's, universe, please intervene here and make everything right.
There you go. There you go. I don't know why this is doing this, but mine is not to question why. Mine is just to fix. So I will fix this. It's going to be about 5 minutes.
That's technology.
Yes, it is. So I'm still here with the two of you, and I'm going to go turn off my computer and then restart it all and then be back online. So if people can get on the phone that are in the room, that would be great. If not, let them know 5 minutes from now in text. I should be back up.
Got it. Tell me what to do, Heidi.
Okay. They're asking questions in the room, like how to mute the phones, and so I'm just putting that in, and they're going to join us on the phone line. So let's go ahead and finish with the resources, and they may ask you some questions that you've already addressed at the end, and that'll be fine. And thank you, everybody, on the phone line for sticking it out. I appreciate it. Marilyn, go ahead. I'll try not to interrupt you again.
So, no, if you have to, I understand. Okay, resources, computer. I don't know if everyone heard that, but, yeah, I don't think I could have done it without the computer, which I learned how to use about 4 years ago when I started my program and first came on the Internet, and it just changed my life. I think having those wonderful people on my network, having Paul, the agent in the wings, certainly was a bit of a... It was much of a help. Oh, I forgot to tell you about something, and the law of attraction enthusiasts will love this. They'll love this. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I remember when my students and various people would say, Marilyn, when are you going to write a book? You need to write a book. My original web designer was bugging me about it, and I just couldn't embrace the thought, you know. And I remember saying to a couple of people close to me, you know, the only way that I think I could ever really write a book, I remember I didn't know anything about the publishing industry. I thought that the only way I could ever write a book is if I had, I said this to the three people, I said, is if I had an agent or a publisher who believed in me. Because then I would have at least some assurance that it would get someplace or had it had a chance. Because everybody had books. It seemed like everybody had books out there. And interestingly, that's exactly what happened over a period of time, a couple years later. I have an agent, comes out of the blue, who did believe in me. Obviously, he didn't sign me until he actually saw the finished manuscript, but he was there in the wings, and that I think that was a very big help it gave me hope that, wow, I'm aware. I may not know anything about the publishing industry, but I'm very aware that there are thousands and thousands of people who are out there looking for agents and publishers. And in fact, I was told that many people self-publish because they can't find an agent. And to have an agent fall into my hands before I even had the book written or anything written was pretty phenomenal. I said, you know, universe, we're on a roll here.
Absolutely. And as a avid practitioner of the laws of attraction, I totally affirm and agree with everything you say, because we really do make our own destiny. You know, there are certain things we may feel we don't have control over. You just change directions. And then, and oftentimes it's you were moving in the wrong direction to begin with. And I think that what I've learned so far from you is that sometimes you manifest things you don't even consciously realize you are manifesting, but somewhere in your subconscious you were thinking about this because you wrote that all that wonderful story down because your subconscious had to get it out, and then your conscious took it over. That's what it sounds like.
If in the story itself, in my memoir itself, you'll see all of the doors that opened, like the career, the business of 20 years. I had no idea there was that industry, that industry existed. So I'll go a little step further and say sometimes we don't have to know what it is we want or have to do. I disagree with saying, oh, you have to know exactly what it is, you have to visualize, you have to taste it and feel it. No, no, no. Sometimes all you have to do is ask for guidance. And that wisdom, that infinite wisdom, that infinite intelligence knows more than you do consciously what is right for you or where your talents belong, or where your hidden talents are. So I believe not only in the law of attraction, yes, that's one of the great laws, I also believe in these laws of synchronicity and guidance, being able to tune into a higher form of wisdom that can guide us even when we don't have complete confidence. We may not, and we don't. You don't have to be perfect visualizers. You don't have to be perfectly confident in what you're doing. But you do, I believe, need to be humble enough to trust that wisdom. If you could do nothing more than connect, find your connection, find a way to connect with that wisdom, that your, through your subconscious, through using the right words, through using the proper thoughts, connect with that intuitive wisdom, you can be guided to dreams that you didn't even know existed. That's what my entrepreneurial story is about. That's kind of what this is about, in a way. Something in me knew that I was going to be a writer. I never set out to be a writer. In the story I wrote for my business, I did write an article for the Los Angeles Business Journal, and that was another one of those out-of-the-blue manifestations, the first article I ever wrote. But I grossed $250,000 from that article.
Wow.
Yeah. That story's on my website as well as in the book. I didn't know I could write. And that wasn't great writing. It was more like advertorial. But we were going through a recession, and all I knew is that I needed to drum up some business. And one day, the Los Angeles Business Journal called me to ask me to advertise, and I said I never advertise. And that's true, by the way. In 20 years in business, I was this little one-woman operation here in Los Angeles, and I attracted, with no advertising, no marketing, and I never made sales calls, I attracted the largest corporations in the world for 20 years. Something's going on there.
Yeah.
I'm not that special. I just knew how to tune in. We can all do that.
Yes, you are. Everybody is. Everybody's special. So
we're all special.
Absolutely. That was my mother, God rest her soul, used to say, if you remember nothing I've told you, if you remember this, that either everybody's special or no one is, it'll be a much easier road in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I live from the everyone is special mindset. And, you know, even when someone ticks me off, I know they're still special. Oh,
they're very specially talented ticking you off.
Yeah, right? Oh, goodness. So how can we get a copy of your e-book, The Feel Free to Prosper, an entrepreneurial memoir of synchronicity and guidance?
I have just deleted, a few days ago, all but... there are 51 chapters to the book, and I deleted all but eight. The eight original chapters, I left it in the original story thread that's had about 8,900 views. The eight chapters are there, and some of the posts from the members. And I have also put the foreword, a wonderful foreword written by author Linda Alexander that just brought me to tears. It was really poignant and really beautiful. And also some of those rave reviews, and I put a PayPal link there. And the reason I've done this on the forum is because we just haven't completed the webpage. I decided just last week to turn it into an ebook when Paul said it was okay to do so. And we're designing a webpage. But anybody can go to the forum and read the first 8 segments.
And what's the URL? I know it's a RISE network.
It's the Feel Free to Prosper Network on RISE, and the URL is, it's HTTP, not www.
Right.
I think all you need is prosper-network.rise.com, and RISE is RYZE. Or you can contact me at feelfreetoprosper.com. My phone number and email address is on the website. Or contact me at marilyn@feelfreetoprosper.com, and I can get you over there.
marilyn@feelfreetoprosper.com. Yeah, because I'm on your network, and I just love it. I'm not an active participant, but I love reading all of the entries, and I'm a big fan of Linda Alexander and you, so it's really good.
Thank you.
And you know what?
I have a great network.
Oh, you do. And I wanted to...
No, you.
Oh,
well... Network. You don't have time to come to my network. You are so busy. You have one of the... You're probably the best network on life now. You're
well,
busiest.
Thank you. May I quote you? I don't know about that, but I sure love it.
Every day. New members joining Heidi's network.
Oh,
yeah,
my
you have
goodness.
A special charisma.
I don't know. It's the law of attraction at work.
Yep.
Big time. So I wanted to address your idea about the e-book, because a lot of authors, and I'm sure people on the line think, well, gee, if I give, well, you're not giving it away, but if I sell it as an ebook, then will that help sell it later on? And I'll tell you that what my advice has been, or advice of other speakers has been, absolutely, because most people really want, once they get a book like that especially, a storybook, a how-to book, those are the kind of book people want to see, feel, touch, read, put on their bookshelf, save, reread, those sort of things. And so people may read your story in ebook form. And by the way, the ebook, is it going to be the same story or similar, or is it going to be changed? Well, we don't know because
it's
you don't have the publisher.
It's exactly the same, except I've tweaked it just a little bit. I did take out one of the segments or two of the segments that I didn't think belonged. But no, it's the same story. That's why I left. I thought people might like to see whether or not they buy the ebook. They'd like to see the 8 original. There were some cliffhangers that weren't, I didn't, and, you know, everyone loves my cliffhangers. And I said I didn't intend them to be cliffhangers. I just thought people would get bored if the segments were too long. So I always cut them at a certain point. And everybody said, oh, it's those cliffhangers. I can't wait to see what happens next. But I left 8 of them because I think the reader will, they'll be able to tell if they resonate and want to go further. But I wanted to leave the original on there. Paul changed the title slightly. I had called it A True Entrepreneurial Tale of Synchronicity and Guidance, and he was the one that came up with an entrepreneurial memoir of Synchronicity and Guidance, which I think flows better. You're saying that most of the speakers feel that it is good to have an ebook before you're traditionally published, or
well, no. What I'm saying is those who have said it's been worthwhile. I wouldn't even go so far as to say that very few of our speakers have had ebooks. But I think it's a brilliant idea. You know, whether you sell it or give it away. I know Seth Godin sold over 1 million copies of Idea Virus by giving millions of copies of his ebook in downloadable form, because if you talk about a book that's over 100 pages, and I'm sure yours is probably going to be 200-300 pages, it's a memoir.
220, that's in manuscript form, it was 220. I don't know how that translates into print.
Yeah, it'll be more, probably be more like 280, 260, 280, whatever that formula is.
I didn't think the publisher, I was wondered if publishers would want to take on something that's already been published on the web, but... Oh, by the way, I am reading Michael Larson's book because my assignment is, Paul says, I want you to make that book your Bible because I've got to do the proposal now for the Feel Free to Prosper, the how-to book. And Michael Larson's book is wonderful. It's very easy reading. Book proposals aren't easy, but at least his writing is. And he seems to feel that the more you can do with your book is more enticing to the publishers. The more you establish a platform, the more you get out there, whether you self-publish or ebooks or speak, publishers seem to want authors that have a platform.
Absolutely.
And have a wide network. But I didn't know I would be allowed to do that. And so when he said, no, you could do what you want, and you'll have to take it off the web as soon as a book is released, I was thrilled. I said, okay.
Well, I was just going to say, and in fact, one of our speakers, Kim Weiss from Health Communications, I think her middle name is Platform, because she really drilled it into our listeners that how important Platform is in any book writing project if you want to sell the book. And so Michael Larson obviously is entirely right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that because you're starting to spew the same thing. So obviously it's working.
It could be why Paul, the agent, believed in me was because I had my prosperity program. I had a following already, and I think that probably helped a lot. Because I just saw the recent letters he wrote to the publishers, and he's sending them to my website.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So, Marilyn, what's next for you?
As Paul says, I want you to make Michael Larson's book your Bible. And that's it. And that's his instruction, and I think that the universe brought him as a gift, and I should listen. Even though, yes, I'll admit, you know, I believe in positive thinking, and we can do anything. We're not alone in the universe. We have the universe beside us, or God, or infinite intelligence, infinite spirit, however you conceive that power to be. But I have to admit, the idea of writing that book proposal is quite intimidating. But I'm going to do it. If I can put a story on my forum that's publication quality, an agent would see and sign, I could write that book proposal. But that's what I need to do. So I am reading Michael's book, and that's the next order.
And you can always get help in writing that as well. I mean, you don't have to do it all by yourself. There are people who are experts out there who will help you and tweak it and, you know, fine-tune it the way you need to. Or obviously Paul can do that as well. So there's definitely... Go ahead.
One of your speakers, I had asked her about that, and she said, if you hire someone to do the book proposal, remember I asked her that question?
Yeah, no, I didn't say hire them to do the book proposal, but to help you with
it.
In other words, it's your words, and they're just going to put them in whatever order is necessary in order for that to be a viable book proposal. So you're writing a workbook to go with the book, like a how-to or a step-by-step guide?
Well, he wants me to put the Feel Free to Prosper program in book form, and that's, I'm still mulling that over. What I may do is put lesson one of the Feel Free to... See, the Feel Free to Prosper program is a series of lessons, but it also goes along with my mentoring, whether it's live teleclass or the audio programs or personal mentoring. So some of my staff felt, well, without the mentoring, then it's just the written lessons. It won't have the same impact. So what I may do, I'm thinking about putting lesson one in the book. The first book was about me and my use of the laws in my journey, okay, over the last 20 years. The next book, this book needs to be about the students. It's going to be about a lot of my students, about their experiences, and it's going to be about the teachings, about my views on these laws. And I think I'll include, right now, this is what I'm considering, including lesson one and also proposing the two-hour audio that goes with lesson one to be included with the book. What does that sound like?
Oh, I think that'd be an excellent idea, because it's going to drive traffic, and you know, a lot of the speakers also mentioned that the important thing is, you know, you can sell one book, or you can sell lots of books, or you can sell programs and consulting, and you know, you're probably not using your book to write a book. It's going to be a great tool to raise awareness of your Feel Free to Prosper program and all of the other things that you offer people. So I think that, and I don't know if that's correct, but that's the sense that I get. That
I just don't want it to be a sales tool where it's just so many of the current writers, what they're doing is they're publishing books to drive people to their courses and to their websites. If it's going to be, see my heroes, my heroines are those great teachers of the past. Joseph Murphy, Catherine Ponder, Thomas Troward, the greats, what I consider the really brilliant minds, and I say to myself, would they do it that way? How would they present themselves to the public? How would they? I don't want to use this as a marketing tool. Yes, books are always a marketing tool by their nature, but it's got to have something of value that if the reader never took one of my courses or never did anything else with Feel Free to Prosper, they would get something life-changing from the book. It has to be. Otherwise, I don't want to do it. It's got
right.
to It's got to be important enough or I cannot write it. It's got to, because that's my mission.
So it's the greater good.
That's my mission.
Absolutely.
And I talked to Paul about this. He says, you need to be marketed like Deepak Chopra. And I said, but you want me to put my whole program in the book? He says, it's all right. You could, even if you put your whole program in the book, you're still, they're going to still want to hear you speak. There's going to be much more that they're going to want. You were talking about the e-book, that if people bought the e-book, would they want the hardcover? When you said that, all I could think of, how many billions of people are in the world? It wouldn't matter if all the people that bought the e-book didn't buy the hardcover, because there are a lot more people who might buy the hardcover.
Exactly.
But there's so much abundance out there. I'm not too concerned about that. I think it's just having the message that I just feel that's my particular place in life. I just feel that this is giving my life meaning, and it's I've got to put something out there that makes a difference. You know, as we get older, we decide we want to do something that's meaningful.
Well, it sounds as though you've been doing something meaningful for a long time in your life. So, you know what I'd like to do?
I've been servicing big corporations. Yes, I was growing my wisdom, learning. I was learning, but basically, I've gone from 20 years of servicing big corporations and pushing them in the limelight with these big parties and events and everything to helping individuals.
Yeah.
It's a big change, and it's very gratifying. It really is.
So I'd like to open it up to questions from the audience now. If you are on the phone line and you'd like to ask Marilyn a question, if you are in the conference room and you'd like to write a question that I will be happy to ask Marilyn, now is a great time. Roy, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Would you unmute the phones, please?
I will.
Wonderful. And I'm sure Roy will probably have a few great questions. He always does. I can always count on him. So we're going to open it up, and I'm very excited. But before I ask people to ask questions, because we are at the 4:30 time, I'd just like to again say thank you and remind everybody that they heard you here first, Marilyn Janay, author of Feel Free to Prosper. So when you become rich and famous, hopefully you'll remember all of us.
You're going to be there with me, honey. What are you talking about?
Well, thanks.